You're listening to the Dave Conklin Show on News Talk 920 AM, 96.5 FM, KVEC. Matt Hoy in for Dave Congleton. Continuing our kind of mental health talk here. Frankly, if I was going to spend billions or trillions of dollars on mental health or offshore wind farms, I'm going with mental health myself. Don't tell the Green New Deal guy that. We're here this hour with Jill Bolster-White of Transitions Mental Health Association here in San Luis Obispo. Last hour, we were talking with Jocelyn Wiener about mental health issues kind of on a statewide basis. Jill is here in studio, and we're going to talk about San Luis Obispo. So first off, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, what your background is, how you came to be at Transitions.
Sure. I have actually been with Transitions Mental Health Association for almost 30 years. I started when I was a Cal Poly undergraduate student. I volunteered for the organization, and then I just...
We might have been at Cal Poly at the same time. When did you graduate from Cal Poly?
1989.
Okay, not quite. I came right after you graduated, so...
Well...
But it's old home week. Okay.
Exactly. We can talk about what's changed on campus. So I also have mentally ill family members. So I'm familiar with mental illness and how it can impact the individual who has a mental illness as well as the family members. So I started as a volunteer. I took a full-time job there, and in 1992, the executive director retired, and I took over the position from her. So I've been with the organization for a long, long time. I've seen a tremendous amount of change in mental health. One of the best things is that we're having this conversation, and that you said what you just said, which is if I won the lottery or you had billions of dollars, you would spend it on trying to help mental health. And when I first started, that was certainly not the sentiment of most people, unless somebody had a personal experience with a family member themselves.
I just think those Green New Deal guys are watermelons.
I think
they're green on the outside and they're red on the inside. They're kind of communist. So
I was taking you for a mental health advocate.
Well, that too.
Okay.
That too. But
but I will leave the Green New Deal exactly where you left it. So basically, we as an organization have been a nonprofit in San Luis Obispo since 1954. So the organization's been around for decades and was started by volunteers, mostly family members who had a loved one with a mental illness. So we have since evolved into an organization that tries to address as many aspects to help people with mental illness as possible. So we have housing, supported housing. We have a couple of treatment programs, one for kids and one for adults. We do employment. We run three small businesses and have an employment placement program. We do lots and lots of support groups and education groups. We do a lot of community education and training to help the community understand what mental illness is. There are lots of misconceptions about how treatable it is. We found it's tremendously treatable. Misconceptions about propensity for violence for people who are mentally ill, which is also a big misconception. We have a robust family services department. That's also a big change. We have a lot of family members who are getting support sort of in parallel with their family member.
Remember, who's suffering from that?
Exactly.
Right. Okay.
So maybe a parent who has an adult child. And then we run the hotline, the SLO hotline. That's a mental health resource staffed 24 hours with volunteers, lots of Cal Poly students and graduates. And anyway, that touches on some of what we've done. More recently, I think many people are aware of the issue of homelessness as an emerging issue in mostly all over the country, but really in California. I think we've got 22% of the nation's homeless population here in California.
They like the weather, too.
It's hard to argue. Here we are living in San Luis Obispo, and so I can see why people would come here. But a large number of people have connections with San Luis Obispo County who are homeless. But where Transitions tries to work is really where there's a nexus between mental illness and that's likely what's caused their homelessness, untreated mental illness.
So before I want to go into all that. Before we go into that, we had a caller last hour who called in and basically was of the opinion that that you guys do great work, but the county of San Luis Obispo is kind of shirking its duties. Can you kind of explain to us kind of the big picture about what's being done both at the, you know, with government groups mm-hmm. and with your nonprofits like yourself to meet the mental health needs here in San Luis Obispo County?
Sure, I'll do my best. So, first of all, the San Luis Obispo County Behavioral Health Department, which is both drug and alcohol and mental health, does provide a wide variety of services. So on the surface, I wouldn't agree with that. While we're flattered that they think Transitions Mental Health Association does good work, about 70% of our funding comes from the county and the state. So we do get robust funding.
Is that in the form of grants, or is that just monies that they allocate contract services?
It's both. Yeah, okay. We do get contracted for very specific services. So, for instance, when I mentioned homelessness, San Luis Obispo County Behavioral Health Department has said, Transitions, we're contracting for you to have a homeless outreach program. So we want your staff, medication help, a therapist, case managers, people with mm-hmm. lived experience with mental illness, to go out countywide, find people who are homeless, and more than likely it's their mental illness that's mm-hmm. caused that, and try to draw them into services. So that specific team, which is doing great work, is funded by San Luis Obispo County. So what happens is Transitions Mental Health Association gets a lot of credit for doing things that are actually funded with public dollars.
Okay.
So I think we'd like to think we really do a good job, and we work mm-hmm. hard, and we hire great staff, and that's all true, but it's really done in partnership with the county. Their responsibility is to do some of the more acute crisis services. You've probably heard of the psychiatric health facility. They basically run what people would maybe think of as the psychiatric hospital.
Okay.
Up at the old general hospital.
The inpatient type stuff.
Inpatient unit, okay. Exactly. So it's known as the PHF, psychiatric health facility. So the county runs that. They run clinics. They do a lot of assessment. They basically are sort of the managed care. They're like the HMO for folks in the county who need public mental health services.
So I don't have one of them in here to ask about this. So, and I got you. So that's next best thing, I figure. So one of the things that last hour talking with Jocelyn Wiener, the reporter, that really kind of struck me was when you get patients who have really, really, really serious issues. And the outpatient isn't enough for them. I don't care if, you know, it doesn't matter if it's 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, you know, in group therapy or in single therapy, that's not enough. Do we have, you know, and the solution to that is inpatient, is
right,
is taking them in and monitoring them, you know, 24 hours a day and giving them even more intensive treatment. Do we have enough of that available here in San Luis Obispo County? Do we have situations where, you know, if you had your druthers, you'd put them up at the old general hospital tonight, but there's no room?
That is a great question, and you are getting at the major issue, I think, of mental health treatment, which is, do we have enough resources? Do we have enough beds? The psychiatric health facility, as you alluded to, isn't enough to adequately house the people who need acute psychiatric care.
In San Luis Obispo County.
As you might remember, there was a proposal to build a facility up in Templeton, and Transitions Mental Health Association, our board and staff, really supported that, because that facility, when it's built, will have kids' beds, adolescent beds, and geriatric beds, in addition to adults.
When you say kids' beds, what age are we talking? Are we talking preteen?
We're talking preteen.
Okay.
Yeah.
How big a problem is that?
You know, it's a surprisingly large program. And I think if you talk to people who are in the school setting, they mm-hmm. will say that's been there's a growing mental health issue with kids who have emotional and mental health diagnoses.
I want to come back to that, because that does interest me. We are talking with Jill Bolster-White, who's the Executive Director of Transitions Mental Health Association here in San Luis Obispo. If you'd like to ask a question, if you'd like to become part of the conversation, find out what's going on with mental health here in San Luis Obispo, give us a call, 805-543-8830, 1-800-549-5832. You're listening to Matt Hoy on the Dave Conklin Show, News Talk 920 AM, 96.5 FM, KVEC. Five.
Water. And I think of all the things, what
Congleton Show, KVEC News Talk 920 AM, 96.5 FM. Matt Hoy sitting in for Dave, who will be back on Monday. We are talking with Jill Bolster-White, Transitions Mental Health Association here in San Luis Obispo, about mental health here in San Luis Obispo. So you mentioned this facility up in Temple is going to have beds for adults, teenagers, and children.
That's right.
And that to me is kind of strange that we're talking about like inpatient for preteens. Is this something that's, is it new or is it something old that we didn't treat right before, that we didn't recognize it before?
I think it's exactly the latter. I think it is something that's been there all along. It's interesting. In contrast, we're renovating the old Sunny Acres Orphanage and turning it into supported housing. And when I hear the stories of the kids who were there, I would bet some of them actually had mental health issues and the families in some situations couldn't manage them. But in answer to your question, there is a growing number of younger children who are having mental health issues, and the need for inpatient beds and some ongoing outpatient treatment has definitely grown. And so I think that's why a facility like Templeton that would have a specific setting for that group, and the medications are different, as you can imagine.
Right,
if you're eight, you're going to have a totally different set of medications that you can even take. So that's why it's really important. The Public Health Department here in San Luis Obispo County did some studies, and they did look at San Luis Obispo, and this is actually teenagers, but they found that one in three 11th graders noted persistent feelings of sadness and hopelessness over the last 12 months.
That's not good to hear. Okay, so we had a caller, and they decided not to talk. It's probably something I said. It usually is something I've said. So, that you know, and that's a little bit scary.
Yes.
I'm actually planning on having on tomorrow Matt Carroll, who is the peer counseling instructor up at Pastor Olds High School, in here to talk a little bit about this from that standpoint. But you know, I was in substituting in an English class a couple weeks ago with up at Pastor Olds with Aaron Cantrell, and he was showing a video, and I do not remember the gentleman's name, but he was, it was a video from 1977, and the gentleman was a concentration camp survivor. He'd been at Auschwitz, I believe. And he was talking about, you know, the people who had a positive outlook, the people who had felt like they had something to live for, they were the ones that made it out. The people that gave up were the ones who didn't. And he's presenting this to a classroom full of 11th graders, and the interviewer introduces the segment by saying that this is, you know, one of the most meaningful questions of our time. And here it's 22 years later, 77, so 52 years later. My math, 42 years. My math is horrible. That's why I went into journalism and not electrical engineering, but we'll set that aside for a moment. And it just, it strikes, it hasn't changed.
No.
This hasn't changed. So what sorts of things are available here? You know, we mentioned a little bit of Tascadero State Hospital. We've got the county hospital up there. What's the road there?
Oh, up on Johnson Avenue.
Up on Johnson Avenue. We've got that there. Last hour we talked about, you know, a little bit about Tascadero State Hospital, and most of the people that are in there now have not been civilly committed there. They are there for criminal reasons. If someone needs that inpatient treatment here in San Luis Obispo County, kind of what are their options? How do they go about getting that?
Okay. So the answer, of course, is it depends. And it depends on, exactly as you alluded to, are the beds at the county facility full? are, if it is a child, they might actually need to send them out of county. There's a place in Ventura where they often have kids go. I think that's why we're so excited about maybe having something closer by, especially for people with younger children. Then the parents don't have to sort of have, you know, dad stay home with the older siblings and mom go, down. So we really would like something closer by. But I think in answer to your bigger question about what can we do, it's so the inpatient unit and having acute psychiatric help is really critically important, as is access to good psychiatrists and good therapists. But it's also really important to have all that sort of on-the-ground education. And there are a couple of moms here in San Luis Obispo, Anna O'Sullivan and Carrie Mahoney, who put together a group called Mindful Slow. And they did that really to just educate parents about looking for subtle signs, to how to talk to your kids about some of these issues. Transitions Mental Health Association got a grant from the Community Foundation to do high school education to teach kids. There's a program called Youth Mental Health First Aid. It's just like CPR and first aid. So now, you know, hopefully if I have a heart attack, you can give me CPR. In the same way, if I think you are demonstrating symptoms of mental illness, I'm going to be educated about how to recognize that and how to maybe talk to you about it.
How am I doing so far?
You're doing great.
Okay, I just want to check.
So far, good.
Some people question that.
I am not worried. So those things help students maybe identify with their peers. Gosh, I'm worried about my classmate, or I'm worried about my friend. Mm-hmm. She's talked about these things that are concerning. Also talking to teachers and counselors, because they're on, as you know, as a substitute teacher, you guys are on ground zero for some of these things.
Yeah, it can be scary sometimes, and just not knowing what to deal with, especially as a substitute. I don't see the same kids every day, and so It's walking on eggshells sometimes.
Yeah.
So you're listening to the Dave Congleton Show here on News Talk 920 KVEC 96.5 FM. If you want in on the conversation, give us a call, 805-543-8830, 1-800-549-5832. We're talking about mental health in San Luis Obispo County. With Jill Bolster-White, Transitions Mental Health Association. We would love to hear from you. We are spending 2 hours on this because this is really an important subject. Matt Hoy, sitting in for Dave Congleton. We'll be back right after this.
Standing in the Alpha Beta parking lot, watching the sunset. I'll never forget watching all the reds and oranges slip away, letting go of yet another dirty day.
You're listening to the Dave Congleton Show. Matt Hoy in for Dave. We are talking with Jill Bolster-White, Transitions Mental Health Association. My theme song, because my first job in high school was at Alpha Beta. So I want to nail this down before we move on to some of the stuff we talked about while we were on break. How many more beds do we need for inpatient in this county to meet the need?
That's a great question. There was a grant from the Blue Shield Foundation that found that I think we are at about 20% with the 16 beds we have of what we need.
We have 16 beds for inpatient
hospitalization.
In this county.
And that's it. In San Luis Obispo County. And those are all run by the county. And so that's why the idea of the facility up in Templeton, the idea of adding any sort of beds, whether they're public or private, are really important.
I thought the number was bigger. That's frankly shocking. We've got a caller with a question. You're on the show with Jill Bolster-White.
Dirk. I go through that downtown area every morning on a bicycle. I'm on my way to my Sanskrit Bible lesson or whatever. I notice the same homeless people day in, day out. Some of them are women and whatnot, and cold, wet, inclement weather. I know it's starting to warm up. But I was curious, what does anybody do for them in terms of, like, okay, so it's still like counseling, it's whatever, keeping them dry, here's your sleeping bag, here's your resources, and whatnot. You mentioned this mental health team. Are prisoners are deceptive? Are they getting resources I'm not seeing at night? Are they getting a warm place to sleep in? Are they somebody letting them indoors when it's working or something at night that I don't see, or what?
Those are great questions. So there are warming shelters during this whole rainy season. In fact, I think we've had more days of warming shelters being open. CAPSLO runs the warming shelters here in San Luis Obispo. Five Cities Homeless Coalition runs them in South San Luis Obispo County. And ECHO, which is an acronym for El Camino Homeless Organization, runs them up in Atascadero. So there are warming shelters. What can happen with folks who have a mental illness or just for whatever reason is that the warming shelter is not an option that they want to take advantage of. You may be seeing...
Yes, ma'am.
Uh-huh.
Hello, ma'am. May I interject something?
Sure.
I know the Prado's got a new building. It's been taken over by completely new managers and people, so I can't speak to that. But I've had personal dealings with them in the past. I can understand why people would not want to go to that Prado and be around the likes of that. Maybe things have changed, but I see some same gals. I personally have given them a $10 or $20 bill trying to help them, whatever, or whatnot. You're supposed to be the mental health experts. You're supposed to have this team. Instead of tell them to go down to the Prado on 40th Street, get right with them downtown. If you have to open up another little shelter in one of the churches or something, why not do that? If they have such mental health issues.
Right. Well, I think what we try to do is meet people where they are. So our homeless outreach team might be just meeting with somebody down at the library in San Luis Obispo or in Los Osos and talking to them and working with them over time to basically accept some housing, accept some mental health treatment, and sort of move back in connection with services. Sometimes it takes a long time.
I'm saying even, not even the library, at the park, at the benches. Mm-hmm. Like, here's your sleeping bag. When I first got here 14 years ago, I vaguely recall, so there's an older couple. I think they may work with the county. They go around, they drive around, and they find people that need help. And here's your sleeping bag. Here's your tent. Can we do anything? And they retired. That's wonderful. Is there not something like that going on now?
Yep. There still are people who are doing those kinds of outreach things. There definitely are some churches that still do that.
Downtown?
Downtown. In downtown SLO.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Yeah.
The thing is you can't force people to take to accept help.
That's right.
And a lot of these, what's kind of the percentage of homeless people that are homeless because of mental health issues?
The percentage is around 35%. It's actually lower than some people think. It's a higher percentage of people who have a substance abuse.
Okay, so, all right. Thanks for the call, Dirk.
Oh yeah.
Thank you. And we got another call.
Okay.
You got Marilyn. You're on.
Hello, Jill.
Hi, Marilyn.
It's nice to hear your voice on the radio. I think it's very informative. And I wanted to ask, are you still connected with Growing Rounds and helping your patients?
We are. We're still absolutely connected with the Growing Grounds and
Can you explain what that is?
Yes.
For our listeners.
So Growing Grounds Farm is basically a plant nursery and farm that employs folks who are mentally ill, many of whom have been homeless and some with a mental health diagnosis, to get people back on track and back to work. We also have a little retail store called Growing Grounds Downtown that's on Choro Street right across from the San Luis Obispo Mission. And that's also a sort of a work opportunity. A lot of people with mental illness have either had a big gap in their employment history or maybe they haven't had a chance to work at all, depending on when their mental illness onset took place. So those two businesses here in San Luis Obispo are sort of a path back to employment. And then we have a supported employment program that places people in the community. So let's say somebody falls in love with plants. Maybe they want to work at Miner's Hardware or Farm Supply in their nursery, or they want a job doing something completely different. That's really important. I think we sometimes minimize how important work is because sometimes we roll our eyes at having to get up and go to work, but work's really important. It's a big part of our identity. So thanks for asking, Marilyn.
Thanks.
And I have another question.
Okay.
How did you get into this profession? What was your background before you were at Transitions?
Well, I've mostly worked for Transitions my entire adult life. So I started as a Cal Poly. I was mentioning earlier, I was a Cal Poly student, and I volunteered for the organization, and then a full-time job became available, and I really loved it. I've got family members who have bipolar disorder, and I definitely saw growing up what an impact it had on our family. And so I sort of saw both, and I saw a real need in San Luis Obispo County for these kinds of services. So I've just fallen in love and stuck with it.
Thank you very
much. It's a much needed profession. So how would people get into it?
Well, we actually have a lot of different folks. We have people who have a bachelor's degree. I did go back and get a master's degree. We have some folks who are licensed therapists. And then we have quite a few folks who actually have come through our programs as recipients of services. They might have a lived experience with a mental illness. And then they're in a position to actually start working for the agency and turning around and helping others. So we love people of all different backgrounds. And we have a website with a lot of information about our open positions and how people can help and support mental health.
Well, I think you've done a fantastic job through the years, and I've had personal connections with you. So I appreciate all you do.
Thank you so much, Marilyn.
Thanks for the call. Before we get too far down the rabbit hole on this with phone calls, I don't want to run out of time. What are some ways people can help you, help out Transitions Mental Health Association financially? What sort, you got fundraisers coming up? How can they help?
Thank you. You and Marilyn just set it up perfectly. So we have a bowl-a-thon coming up, actually, starting this Saturday.
Bowling, Craig.
Yes, Craig.
I'm all about the bowling.
Craig is all about the bowling.
So we are bowling both at Pismo Bowl, just if you want to go back in time, Pismo Bowl, and at Cal Poly. So on Sunday the 24th, actually at Cal Poly, Mustang Lanes at 12:30, we've got a couple of open lanes. What we ask is that people get five folks on a team. The team can raise or get a sponsor for $500. They get lunch. They get some really cute socks with our Transitions logo. And they get to support mental health. And that money goes to support our hotline. And it supports all of our mental health programs.
Can they get bowling ball socks, too?
The socks. They could get bowling ball socks.
Craig had bowling ball socks on yesterday.
Craig.
I love my bowling balls.
He does.
They're my lucky socks.
Craig. You must come and bowl. So we're bowling the weekend of the 23rd and 24th and the weekend of the 28th and 29th. Thursday the 28th, Friday the 29th, Saturday the 30th, and Sunday the 31st. So please go on our website, www.t-mha.org. You can sign up. But we also love volunteers. We love for people to go through our mental health first aid trainings. We would love donations of real estate, because if we get a house donated to Transitions Mental Health Association, we'll use it for housing for our clients. So anything. We actually have had cars donated. We've had furniture for
tiny
some of
homes.
Our homeless folks. We haven't had a tiny home donated. This could be the first opportunity for someone to donate a tiny home.
You're listening to the Dave Conklin Show, News Talk 920 and AM 96.5 FM KVEC. We're on with Jill Bolster-White. If you've got a question for her, now is your last chance to call. 805-543-8830, 1-800-549-5832. We'll be back right after this.
She's complicated. Complicated, left me a mule to ride. The train pulled out, I swung on behind. Crazy about a hard-headed woman of mine.
You're listening to Dave Congleton Show. Matt Hoy sitting in for Dave. Dave will be back Monday. We're talking with Joe Bolster-White, Transitions Mental Health Association here in San Luis Obispo. You know, we were talking about teenagers. We were talking about cell phones. And as a teacher, I would like kind of cell phones to be destroyed. I'm exaggerating a little bit, just a little bit. But nowadays, students always have a cell phone in their hand. You know, back when I was in high school, we did have Walkmans. But the idea of walking into class and sitting down in class with the headphones still on our heads was something we never would have considered.
No.
That is not the case nowadays. Those things aside, we've got kids who are plugged into these things, and we've got something that, you know, didn't exist 15 years ago called social media. It's not Facebook, because I've mentioned Facebook in a classroom, and that I've been informed that's for old people, which made me feel much better about myself. But things like Snapchat and Twitter and these sorts of things, these students are getting, you know, kids are getting feedback, and it's not all nice.
Right.
24/7. What should parents be doing to kind of monitor, you know, this sort of stuff? Because if your kid doesn't have a mental illness, this seems like something that sure could trigger something.
Well, social media is a big problem for adolescents in particular. And there's a local woman, Eileen Calandra, who does some parent education around social media. And your previous guest, I think, talked about, I think the story she wrote was about the suicide of a young woman. And some of it had influence in social media, I think, is what the mom thought. I think social media does have a lot of negative consequences for preteens and for teens. Part of it is because they're still developing.
Right.
And the opinion of their peers is paramount.
They don't have thick skins.
That's right.
Preteens, teenagers, and journalists do not have thick skins.
No journalists. We're in that category.
I assure you journalists are in that category.
Okay. Then you need to be protected from social media as well. But I think social media can be really dangerous. And as we talked about, it can be pernicious. People can be mean. They say things they would never say in person.
Right.
And so it allows the kind of communication that we didn't really used to have.
Yeah. I was listening to a podcast on my way home last night where Arthur Brooks, who's formerly of the American Enterprise Institute, he has a new book out called, what's it called? Something about being nice to people. And he talks about social media, and, you know, people on social media, they separate from themselves when they're on it, and they say things on social media to people, you know, some of whom they know, some of whom they don't know, they would never say to your face.
That's right. That's right.
And it's the anonymity of it, and it's, you know, all of a sudden, you know, I'm not a person, you're not a person. It's just, you know, we're talking past each other, yeah. and it's hateful stuff.
Exactly. And so if you're a kid, that'll go straight to your heart. And so if you're a child who might be prone to depression, or if you're an adult, it can really, really be dangerous. So social media, there's some concern that it actually can exacerbate people's feelings of concern and depression and have a hand in suicide. And that's a big part of that story that I think the journalist you interviewed before was describing.
So just for the record, that Arthur C. Brooks book that he is out promoting right now is called Love Your Enemies. And so I think that's a very good sort of advice for all of us. Tell me about the Bishop Street Studios.
Bishop Street Studios is a project that we're really excited about at Transitions Mental Health Association. The building was an orphanage that was built in 1931 called Sunny Acres, and it has been on the county campus up above Johnson Avenue behind the old General Hospital, which is now the Behavioral Health and Public Health Department. We are partnering with the Housing Authority to turn it into 33 studios of permanent supported housing for our mental health clients. So we're just very, very excited. I mean, we all read, I think it was that our county is the fifth most expensive place to live in the country.
Right.
And so if you have a mental health disability and you're on Social Security disability, your income is under $1,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to let you live anywhere. So the design behind Bishop Street Studios is that it's a permanent place for people to live where they'll get some support for their mental health, be super close to services, close to the grocery store and the drugstore, and we're able to restore this really, really lovely old brick building. Should be done at the end of May or early June, and we're accepting applications for housing from people who live in San Luis Obispo County and who have an open mental health case with the County Behavioral Health Department.
Okay, so people want to apply, they go to...
Go to
your website,
yep.
And there's a form there to fill out.
There is, they can...
Now we're assuming that everybody has access to a website, right?
You are right. If they don't,
how do they? If all they have is an AM transistor radio and they're listening to their show, this show on that, how do they go about doing
they
that?
They could come to our office, which is at 784 High Street in San Luis Obispo. So it's in that old railroad square neighborhood, the old Quaglino Hardware building, and we've got applications there. That's also where they could sign up for the Bowl-a-thon, or they could sign up to volunteer for a program. So questions can be answered. They can also call the hotline, which is 805-783-0607, and they can get information there. It's also a crisis mental health and support line.
Okay. Start wrapping this up.
Okay.
What sorts of things do we need here in SLO? You mentioned that, you know, you get grants and you get contracted from the county. The county gets money from the state, and I'm guessing probably the feds.
Yes.
It's not enough.
That's correct.
What can people do? What should we be doing in order to meet the needs here in San Luis Obispo? I'm frankly shocked there's only 16 beds in the county.
Mm-hmm.
That is just jaw-dropping to me. How many do we need, do you think?
Oh, gosh. I think we could use 75 beds.
Okay. For comprehensive inpatient.
That's right.
Day to day.
Segregated by age group, like I was saying.
And
before.
Gender.
Yes.
Okay.
And yeah. So the idea that you could have a kids treatment program separated from a geriatric treatment program. So if I were to win the $5 billion lottery, I would probably want to have a program that brought psychiatrists to San Luis Obispo County so people had access to psychiatric
care.
We
don't have enough beds.
We don't have enough
beds.
We
don't have enough professionals.
That's right. We don't have, we need substance use treatment, although CAPSLO is just developing a proposal to build a detox unit on the campus where 40 Prado is. We could use treatment beds, we could use housing beds for people to live in. I would love to see more homeless outreach. We talked about very intensive mental health treatment, outpatient treatment, the teams that go out and meet people.
Right.
I'd love more folks like that. And I'd love to have more money to hire people with mental illness who want to get back into the workforce and sort of get back on track with their lives. I'd love all those things. I'd love to develop another business that hires folks similar to Growing Grounds Farm, but maybe that's not farming. So those would be some of the things on my wish list.
Okay. Again, how can people help out? Let's push the bowling again and whatever else you've got going on. So
they can get on again. If you have a computer, our website is www.t-mha.org. They can also come by the office and drop off a check or the deed of a house or the pink slip of a car at 784 High Street in San Luis Obispo.
Okay. I guess my final question is this. What does the future hold? I mean, you've talked about what you need.
Mm-hmm.
And if you had all the money in the world, what sort of stuff you'd be doing? 60 seconds left. What's happening over the next year or two to improve? Is the situation getting better? Is it getting worse?
So I think if I, again, could legislatively make a difference, I would make mental health and physical health parity happen, meaning our health insurance would actually adequately pay.
We talked about that, a little bit of that in the last hour, and
yes.
it sounded like that's already the law. But
it's the law, but it's not what most health insurance companies are doing.
Okay.
They're limiting what people have access to. If we had health insurance and we had the adequate inventory of doctors and professionals, that would make a gigantic difference in mental health treatment.
Okay. You've been listening to the Dave Congleton Show. We've had Joe Bolster-White, Transitions Mental Health Association here in SLO. You can get a hold of her at t-mha.org. And we'll be back after these messages. You're listening to Dave Congleton Show, News Talk 920 AM, 96.5 FM. Matt Hoy sitting in for Dave.